The deacons need to meet afterwards in my office briefly, please. Also, if you have a child in our prep school, we're going to have our annual teachers' meeting. I'm announcing this ahead of time. I'll re-announce it. Sunday, September the 27th. That's the whole second session. We'll only have one Bible class on that day, and then the second session will be devoted to that. And again, if you have a child in the prep school, you, besides teachers and everything, you need to attend, find out what we're trying to do to teach the kids. All right, let's check ourselves and see if we're all in fellowship. Page 23 of your notes, let's proceed forward. With regard to these angels, these bonds are eternal, so there's no escaping this state. It's a gloomy realm to add to the misery and reflect the spiritual condition of the prisoners. The judgment of the great day refers to the great white throne judgment, as noted. The great white throne judgment is just for unbelievers. It includes the cancellation or the dissolution of original creation. You'll be there. You'll get to witness it with your own eyes. You'll get to see this earth taken out. And it'll be a big explosion, a lot of noise, a lot of fire, and it'll be gone. The entire human race will be suspended in space. And they'll be before Jesus Christ on a great white throne. The unbelievers will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. Then what? We get to witness the creation of Earth 2. And it'll be quick, but we'll get to watch that. And that's our final home on the new Earth. The new Earth will be different, to say the least, but similar. It will hold people. It will have a city in the dead center of it, as in a circle. And that city is called the New Jerusalem. You'll have a place of residency in the New Jerusalem. This is a city that's 1,500 miles high. It's a cube, 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500, so forth. With access to it with three gates on each side of it, so and so. Details are found in the book of Revelation, in our study of the book of Revelation. I can't go into all that. Jude, like Peter, does not give specific information, I've done it right here, on the nature of the crime that has rendered them powerless over the century since the flood. Peter simply mentions the fact that they sinned. And while all sin isn't equal. There's some that it's much higher level. That should be obvious to anybody with a half a brain that all sin is sin, but it isn't all equal. There are high crimes, even in civilization, and there are lesser offenses. And this was a high crime on the part of angels that put them in this situation. And why put this in here with regard to all this? Because these people who are upsetting the faith of these Christians to whom this letter was written, they put themselves in the crosshairs too. You do not upset the faith of believers. You do not cause believers to stumble. You do not lead believers astray. You do not feed believers false information. You don't want to go there. The noun domain, when used in relation to time, means beginning, Matthew 19:4. When used of anything, refers to the first, Hebrews 2:3. When used in relation to rank, means rule. And when used of being of a being with authority, it means ruler, Romans 8:38. By engaging in sexual relations with humans, these angels did not keep their call to perpetual celibacy. Again, further details are found in our doctrine of angels. Because there's so much goofiness out there, you'd expect that. They did not keep or guard their calling when they materialized themselves and took wives from the human race. 42. Anytime I announce it, I think to the person who hears it for the first time, it must seem really bizarre. That an angel, that's a spirit being, one, can materialize them. Two, okay, they can materialize and look like anything. But then that they could cohabit with regular women and produce offspring. That's even further out there. This is the thing. We just take the Bible at face value. It doesn't make this stuff up. The fact is that they were trying to contaminate. It's the only thing that makes any sense. Just to create a bunch of super guys running around the earth causing mayhem, these Nephilim. There was that was a side effect. Angels do not propagate themselves. Matthew 22:30. In other words, the angelic race was a fixed number from the beginning, and it's still the same number. Okay, look that up. That's the one I was telling you about first session. Go back to verse 23, Matthew 22. Jesus was confronted with his opponents constantly or regularly. He had these people who was challenging him on things. The Sadducees were a political, a religious sect within Judaism that were liberals. Matthew records, on the same day, Sadducees, and then he puts in parentheses, who say there's no resurrection, came to Jesus and questioned him. See, they're trying to set him up. Asking, teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Okay, that's their springboard text. Now, they imagine a situation. This is a situation. It could occur. Now, there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother, and also the second, and the third, down to the seventh. So here's this woman. I think I was after the fourth brother. I think she's a jinx. I'm not superstitious, but it's killed all my brothers before, and I'm number seven. I don't think I'm going there. I'm trying to be funny, okay? Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her. Oh, you really got Jesus stumped now, don't you? You really got him in a box. And Jesus said to them, you're mistaken. Not understand the scriptures or the power of God. You don't know the Bible, and you don't know God's power and his plan. Bingo. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection, since they were antagonistic to the concept, Jesus says, but regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? See, these are the guys that came on with a verse, right? Well, we'll give you a verse. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they're the bystanders here watching this, listening, this deal between Jesus and his opponents. They were astonished at his teaching. But But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, put them in their place, they walked out with their tails between their legs. The Pharisees decide they're going to step up to the plate. They gather themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. See, it's okay to ask questions, but they're trying to set Jesus up. These aren't people who are looking for answers. These are people who are set in their way, who will get a Bible verse and try to establish something. So which is the great commandment of the law? The Pharisees sat around and debated what was the greatest commandment in the law. What was the top one? The top of the ladder. And they liked to debate this stuff endlessly, coming to no firm conclusion. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." Now, why is it? Because in order to do that, as then, as now, you've got to know the realm of all the commandments to put them into play. And as you put them into play, you demonstrate your love for God. It's not complicated. You do these things, and that's the great commandment. And that's a process of learning the rest of them. This is the great and foremost. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Human relations. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And they go on and on with this. Moving on. Furthermore, they do not die. Angels don't die like humans die. Luke 20:36. Again, another one in the same vein. Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot even die anymore because they're like the angels and are sons of God being sons of the resurrection." Okay, same line of argumentation. They are a fixed number from creation and they're all of male gender, 45. These sexual liaisons were as abhorrent to God as are the so-called homosexual unions of today. Their sin is akin to bestiality, as an example, sex with animals, as they cross the boundary between two levels of creation. The phrase, "but abandon," their proper bone points this out. Okay. Now, got off track here. My bad. Let's just move on to the, let's see here. Okay, this is okay. The phrase, "but abandoned," it's a repeat from the other, but anyway. But abandoned, the proper abode further brings this out. Proper abode occurs here in 2 Corinthians 5:2, where the body is the proper abode for the soul. And that, for all of you to understand, is you as a believer are three parts. Body, that's what everybody sees. And it is the abode or the house for the soul. We'll call the body the outer you. We'll call the soul the real you. And then you have a human spirit, that's the new you. Simple enough. And each has a place. The unbeliever is just body and soul. He has a body and a soul, but not a human spirit. Human spirit's the new you. So, the liberals of these last days, and they had them in Jude's day, are placed in the same category of notorious sinners with the fornicating angels of Genesis 6. 83, they will be remembered as a threat that while doing untold damage to the end is exposed and shut down dramatically. Their activities will be halted as they face the judgments of the tribulation. So they're on the, we're on the cusp of that for all the obvious reasons I've been giving you. Our timeline, the timing of the rapture based on the reemergence of Israel as a nation has to be significant. All right, let's move on to the third example, Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude moves on, just as Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities around them. All right, just as, it's a comparative. It's not the kathos, it's just hos. As Sodom and Gomorrah. Those are the two. Those were the two prominent cities of the plain, and the cities around them. So Sodom and Gomorrah was, and the inhabitants, this was a city-state. This is what's called in history city-states. Athens was a city-state, blah, blah, blah. So, since they in the same way as these, since they resembling in a similar fashion as these who? The angels of the previous example. This is another example of stepping way over a line, not just a sin, but as we have it specified in other verses, and we'll bring it out to you here this week. This type of immorality, there's basic immorality. Two people, man and woman, male, female, having sex, not married. That's commonplace, and it is basic immorality. But when it's stepped up to another level, it's abnormal perversion, and it carries a deeper penalty from the Word of God, and at times in certain nations that are righteous, which ours is no longer. We not only don't condemn it, we promote it. I say we, I mean our highest leaders and people in high places promote it as A-okay. And anybody says anything different, they're hate mongers. They malign us. They malign those who stand for the truth. In my lifetime, there was a day when it was abhorrent. Well, that was yesterday. We've come a long way. Yeah, we have. Down the slippery slope. Who was the judge that wrote the book? He couldn't get on the Supreme Court because of his conservative views. His book was Slouching Towards Sodom. And that was written quite a ways back. Since they, in the same way, indulged in gross immorality. That is one word in the Greek. Ex pornuo. Ex pornuo, misbehaved sexually, indulged in gross immorality, and go after strange, after is opiso, after strange, different, heteros, flesh. Are put on exhibit as an example. I visited the exhibit. I did. I visited the exhibit. It was not a building with stuff in it. Exhibited. I'll try to remember to bring my sulfur ball up here. It's in a box in my office. I mean, you can come back and look at it. If you handle it, your hands will smell like sulfur, which always when we were in school and in the lab, it was like rotten eggs. It's harmless, but if you get it on your hands, you probably want to go wash them. Exhibited. You know what an exhibit is, don't you? Sure you do. Prokai mai. Be on public display. That's one translation. Another translation, exist for all to see. There's an exhibit. You probably could take a virtual tour of the place online if you want to. I've done it with a couple of these things. Some people did it for me, and I invited over to their house. We did a virtual tour of my hometown, Hot Springs, South Dakota. Big, booming metropolis, no. But a nice, clean little place, at least it was when I was there. Quaint. They are put on public display as a dogma, proof, or example. And if their historical judgment wasn't enough, if it wasn't enough that this thriving towns, these Canaanites were prosperous. Lot wouldn't have been there if they weren't. They were prosperous materially. Dike, punishment of eternal fire. The city was loaded with unbelievers. The only believers in the city were Lot, possibly his wife. Lot is Abraham's nephew. He winds up in Homosexualville. Lot does. We'll deal with that Lot. We'll deal with Lot's trend. And it wasn't sex. Lot was straight. He was what they call straight. He had a wife. Had a couple daughters. You see? But Lot was delivered from the city thanks to Abraham's intercession, his uncle. Lot was the classic believer who loves money and material things. Specifically money. I kind of get the impression that Lot wasn't flamboyant or flashy at all with his wealth. I think his wealth was like a security blanket. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's the case with Lot. He did. We'll go to Genesis, the Genesis account, when Lot runs into two angels, legit angels, bona fide elect angels, who come walking into Sodom. Can we cue the music? Oh, we can't. Okay. Lot comes walking into Sodom. These two men, manifest as male angels, looking like ordinary people out of the time, their dress style, everything. They walk up to Sodom. Lot's sitting at the gate of the city. Why is Lot sitting there? Because Lot's looking for another business venture. And that's where things were carried on at city gates, for instance, among other things. People did commerce there, and he was looking for people, and he sees these two strangers. So he wants to get to know them to find out if there's something going on. It's nothing spiritual, the Lot. He knows they're not residents of the city, and we'll leave you with that until we come back. He shows them hospitality, sort of. Again, I that's what I love about the Bible. I wonder if some people are getting it. Studying the profile of different types of believers. The good, bad, and ugly in the Bible. The Pollyanna view of Fundyism, oh, they're all good. No, they're not. There are believers that are as nasty as you can imagine. And corrupt up to their ears. And they believed in Jesus. And we will do the profile of Lot again. It's a lot of fun. Pun intended. It's a lot of fun. Lot is his nephew. His father died, Abraham's older brother. And Abraham, being the fellow he was, he took the boy in to raise him. That's how he got hooked up with Abraham. I don't fault him for that. I don't fault him at all for that. Now, someone might say I'm violating the doctrine of separation, but I don't fault him for it. Abraham's just doing what a lot of us would do. Try to help some kid out. Because he doesn't have a father. And he needs a father figure. See, God set this whole thing up so it works right. A man and a wife, they're supposed to be a team raising a child. They each have their own contribution to make. Now, if you're a single parent and that's the way it is, that's the way it is. I'm not bad-mouthing your situation. I'm just saying what God set up for an ideal situation. That's why a lot of kids are the way they are. Well, even a husband and wife can mess that all up by not handling the situation right. That's something you pray about too, raising your kids and raising them upright. This cosmos out here isn't gonna help them out much in raising them. Unless you get a good teacher, maybe that'd be helpful or something. But generally, not at all. They're undergoing the dike, punishment of eternal poor fire. Just as, comparative adverb, draws a comparison between this and the previous example, not between this and the false teachers that had insinuated themselves into the communities or the lives of these believers. 2. Both examples have in common high-handed sinning, resulting in dramatic manifestation of the overruling will of God. Shut it down. You know, and that's where we're all sitting today. We're sitting on the cusp of the overruling will of God coming down on the nations all over the earth. All the nations will be caught up in this. Historically, biblically, except for the flood. The flood got everybody. It got everybody that wasn't on the ark. And everybody that wasn't on the ark was given a gospel hearing and a way of escaping themselves physically. But no one walked up and said to Noah, "Can I get on that ark? I'm not taking a chance with this mess. You built an impressive looking barge, boat, whatever you want to call it, ark. We've watched you for 100 years. This is impressive. Can I come on?" Nobody. And I don't know how many millions, if not billions, of people existed on this earth in the 1656 years between Adam and the flood event. I don't know. We are now on the cusp historically. The party's over, pretty much. Well, people will try to party after the fact. Of course, they always try that. They try to find some escapism. We're on the cusp of getting out of here. Whether you want to go or don't want to go, if you're a believer, you're going. The dead in Christ first, and we will follow close on their heels. It'd be like two people going through the door, leaving. You go ahead. And then one person walks out, and the other one follows right after them. That's the order of resurrection in Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which remain and are alive will be caught up. It will be transformed and caught up in the air with them. Right where you are, wherever you're doing. Doesn't matter whether you're asleep, awake, eating, you name an activity, good or bad, it's going to be interrupted. And we'll be caught up in the air. And all these people left behind, they'll get to see the absentee and they'll get to see it happen. It may be real quick, but these people will be smart enough to pick up on it when your pile of clothes are laying right in front of them. Jewelry and every other item. And any of those artificial parts you guys got. That'd be too funny, won't it? Fillings. Add to the list. You don't need that junk in your... it's not junk now. It's important. But you don't need that. It'd be junk for the resurrection body. You don't need that. And as I tell my grandson, you'll be 35. Now, it's one thing for a little kid to get raptured up. That's... spook people, but to see you turn into a 35-year-old and see your old granddad be a 35-year-old, it is going to blow. You can't. Hollywood's never come up with anything like this. No movies ever. There's supposed to be some out. There was one. It was a real dud. Left Behind. It was a joke. Fundy's put it on. I heard there's another one. I can't. Say if they got good with this one. And then the rest of the human race, they get to trip on into the trib. As Daniel said, there's never been a time like it, and there'll never be a time after it of severity. You can't. I study it a lot. I've studied this a lot. I still can't wrap my head around all of it. But the roadmap is there for anyone who's positive at any time in history. They have a, it's called your lifetime or whatever it is, a window of opportunity to get your ducks in a row. You say, oh, I wish I'd have had this in yesterday. Forget about yesteryear. Yesteryear's come and gone. Forget about yesterday. Just lock on, whether you stay locked on, if you're here, been here, or if you're just, as some of you are, very new to this type of teaching. Don't turn away from it. Don't do like the many. Hang on. If there's any way we can help you with questions or any kind of help, we're here for you. Know that, as we are for everyone else that's sincere and genuine with regard to the what we're trying to do and accomplish here for 40... Oh, it's September. It was 47 years. Amazing, isn't it? It blows my mind. 40... So I'm not patting myself on the back by saying this. It's a miracle I've survived 47 years for a number of reasons. My own stupidity as well as the general stuff that goes on. But somehow I managed to get up one more day and say, I'm going to try this again. And when hell breaks loose in my congregation, I don't say, screw it, I'm out of here. Not yet, I haven't anyway. I haven't pulled an Elijah, and I haven't pulled a Jonah. These are great men of God who did a runaway. A runaway. But he knows our hearts, and even in weakness, he'll bring us back. He didn't say, oh, you don't want to evangelize the Assyrians? Huh. Well, you're going to, Jonah. Because I know you're a man of integrity and you will only speak the truth. So you just jump on that boat and head the opposite direction I told you to. You go off to Spain. Go down there, get your ticket, get on that boat and say, I'll pay your fee and we're going to go on this sailboat and we're going to head this commercial sailboat of these Phoenicians and because they're the big ocean guys. They built their empire on the ocean. And they have these outposts like Tyre and other places. I'm going there. One hell of a storm came up on the Med. I wonder who threw that at them. It was so bad that even these seasoned sailors said, we're going down. This isn't another bad storm. And being superstitious fellows, they were pagans. Being superstitious, somebody on this ship might have done something that brung this on us. So we're going to cast lot and find out who the culprit was. They cast lots and guess who it fell to? Jonah. Jonah said, yep, it's me. It's me. Throw me overboard and you guys will be free. This will all die down. Well, they did. Jonah fully expected to get a lung full of water and be dead. But he sunk and sunk. And pretty soon, see, we did Jonah. He sunk and sunk and realized, this isn't right. The deeper you get, the higher the pressure of the water. It wasn't happening. And then this dark shadow comes towards him. The fish that God made. And people say, oh, that sounds like such a fairy tale. No, no, no. I have stories of men who were whalers who got thrown overboard trying to catch whales back in the old days. And one of them, they had the whale hanging up on the ship, cut it open, the guy was in it. He was still alive. So it's not like it could, but beyond that, God supernaturally protected him. Did his body suffer any harm? Only one thing. This is funny. He came out looking like an albino. It sucked all the color out of his skin. And he's probably a fairly dark, you know, Hebrew type. And, of course, smelly seaweed and everything as he's undecorously thrown up on the beach. So he says, well, I'm going to Nineveh. And that's a long trip by foot. But he got to the big city of Nineveh. And in the big city of Nineveh, they saw this guy. And he didn't treat him nice. I'm here to give you the gospel because God loves you. That wasn't in his vocabulary. You're going to be destroyed. And I hope you are, you so-and-sos. I don't like you. And they just open arms received him. The Assyrians were a bad group. Advanced civilization, but they were known for skinning their captives alive. You've heard the expression, skinned alive? Who develops a system to skin a human being alive and do it in such a way that they won't die? The Assyrians. They were cruel. They kicked their pets. I'm just adding. They were a cruel race. And God was going to bring them down. And they all turned to Jonah's message. In spite of the fact he treated them like crap. How about that? Positive volition. You can overcome anything. Have I ever treated you bad? Maybe I did. It's not because I wanted to do it, because I don't like that person. I'm going to just hammer the hell out of them. No, it's not my motivation. Okay, we will come back and we'll see the narrative. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. We'll see it in Genesis 19. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.